Deuteronomy chapter 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea, as Yahweh spoke to me. And we circled Mount Seir many days. Yahweh spoke to me, saying, "You've circled this mountain long enough, turn to the north." Well, they had said, in hot blood, I suppose, "Oh, let's make a captain and return to Egypt." And although God did not send them back to Egypt, he did send them back to the Red Sea and around Mount Sinai, as if to say, "Well, okay, you will get what you want. How does it feel now to walk back? Do you really want to go back there? Well, this is what you wanted." And it just shows that if in their hearts they had returned to Egypt, well, God pretty well counted them as if they had, even though physically they didn't. And the whole question is, of course, do I really want to be in God's kingdom? Do I really believe, or am I just sort of in with the crowd? Am I just going along because the rest of Israel are marching along and this is what everyone else is doing? So, command the people, saying, "You are to pass through the border of your brothers, the children of Esau, and they will be afraid of you. Don't meddle with them, for I will not give you of their land, not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I gave Mount Seir to Esau for a possession." Just reminding them, I gave Esau the area around Mount Seir, and they possessed it. I gave you the land of Canaan, but you refused to possess it. So it was just reminding them that other people had accepted the possession God gave them, but God's people didn't. "You shall purchase food of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. For Yahweh your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He has known your walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years Yahweh your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." Well, that is a great comfort, because when Israel were in Egypt, that is like us being in the world and in the flesh, but then they went through the water of the Red Sea, like we are baptized into Jesus in the cloud and in the sea, as Paul says, as if the cloud was like water and there was water both sides of them, so it was like a kind of baptism. And then they came into the wilderness, which is like our journey after baptism towards God's kingdom. And God was with you, Moses says, and you lacked nothing. And in the end, that will be true for us. Of course, you won't get a fantastic lifestyle. That's not what God's offering to give. But in the end, he will provide you, just as he provided manna every day for the people, basic food, and their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't even wear out for 40 years. So basic food and clothing, God will provide, and you will lack nothing. So we pass by from our brothers, the children of Esau, who dwell in Seir. We turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Yahweh said to me, "Don't bother Moab, neither contend with them in battle. I will not give you of his land for a possession, because I gave Ar to the children of Lot for a possession." So God is again reminding them that, look, I gave all these nations their possession, and I gave you the possession in Canaan, but you didn't want it. The Emim lived there before, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. These also are accounted Rephaim, that is, giants. But the children of Israel succeeded them, and they destroyed them from before them and lived in their place. So the idea is that, yeah, you didn't want to go into Canaan, which was the possession I gave you, because you said there were Anakim there, there were giants there. Well, I gave Esau a possession, and I also gave Moab a possession, and I gave the children of Lot, that's Edom and Moab, Moab and Ammon, I gave them a possession where there were giants, and they drove them out. Now, the implication is, why didn't you do that? And so also we can look at people in the world who do not have the great motivations that we have, people who are atheists, who have no hope of God's kingdom, and yet they do great things for causes they're very passionate about. And we should take the message from that, that if they can do that for what they believe, how much more should I not be doing so much more for what I believe? And, you know, it's the same here. Look, you would not inherit and possess the lovely land I prepared for you in Canaan because you said there were giants there, but the Moabites, They did. They possessed the land I gave them to possess, and there were giants there, and they drove them out. Now rise up and cross the brook Zered. We went over the brook Zered. The days in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the brook Zered were 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were consumed from the midst of the camp. Moreover, the hand of Yahweh was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So when they were all consumed, perhaps when the last member drop of that generation dropped dead, Yahweh spoke to me, saying, "You are today to pass over Ar, the border of Moab, and when you come near to the children of Ammon, don't bother them or contend with them, for I will not give you of the land of the children of Ammon for a possession, because I gave it to the children of Lot for a possession. And that is also counted a land of Rephaim, or giants, who lived there earlier. They were a people great and many and tall, but Yahweh destroyed them before them." That's before the people of Ammon. "And they succeeded them and lived in their place, as he did for the children of Esau, who lived in Seir, when he destroyed the people of Hor from before them. And they succeeded them and lived in their place to this day." So what God is saying is, look, I gave an inheritance to the children of Esau and also to the children of Lot, that's Moab and Ammon, where there were giants, and I helped them drive them out. I gave you a far better possession, the land of Canaan, where also there were giants, but you refused to drive them out. You turned away from it. So often it turns out that God's people act worse than the unbelieving world around them, and really Israel behaved far worse than these other nations that were around them. It just shows that God's people are not called because they are stronger or better than other people, even not because they are spiritually stronger. And I think that is all to show God's grace, that he works with the people who are not very strong, who are not very spiritual, in order to save them, and that is his grace. "Rise up, take your journey, pass over the valley of the Arnon. I have given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of you and the fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole sky, who will hear the report of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you." So they were given some battle experience and some victories so that they would see that actually they could fight and win. This is even before they came into the land of Canaan. So God's like that. He strengthens our faith for something bigger by giving us a victory over something smaller. So Moses said, "I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, 'Let me pass through your land. I will go by the highway. I won't turn to the right or left. You shall sell me food and sell me water, as the children of Esau who dwell in Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Ar did to me, until I pass over the river Jordan into the land which Yahweh our God gives us.' But Sihon, king of Heshbon, wouldn't let us pass through his territory, because Yahweh your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand." So God then can work directly on the human spirit or the human heart. And he does so today through the Holy Spirit. He will soften your heart. He will give you his spirit in your heart if you want that. And likewise, he confirms hard hearts as he did with Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart and God hardened his heart. Yahweh said to me, "I've begun to deliver up Sihon and his land before you. Begin to possess, that you may inherit his land." So this was to prepare them for the conquest and the inheritance of the land of Canaan. "Yahweh our God delivered him up before us, and we struck him and his sons and all his people. We took all his cities at that time and destroyed every inhabited city. We left none remaining. Only the livestock we took for a prey to ourselves, with the spoil of the cities which we had taken, from Aroer to Gilead. There was not a city too high for us. Yahweh our God delivered up all before us.